Who are you?
I'm Pierre Burton. I just put journalist on my passport. I think that's good enough.
And you're the son of Laura Burton?
Yeah.
So that novel that we read in university, that was you that they were talking about, Laura?
I guess so. It wasn't a novel. It was a true story.
And you were once... it was an interesting true story, wasn't it?
Thank you.
How old are you, Pierre, if I dare may ask?
Sure, I'm 71.
Born in...
1920.
You were once a member of CITR Radio, weren't you?
No.
It wasn't CITR at that time, though, was it?
There was no radio at the University of BC when I was there. There's a radio society. And once a week, we did a broadcast, a half-an-hour broadcast on CGOR and over here in the old Grosvenor Hotel. But in 1940-41, when I was at the university, there was no... The university didn't have a radio station.
It was called RADSOC, though, wasn't it?
RADSOC, yeah. Radio Society. We didn't call it RADSOC.
And RADSOC eventually turned into CITR, so I guess you could call me a descendant of Pierre Burton in some respects.
Follower, anyway. And
what if some other members that were on RADSOC, what have they gone on to, or you know, on the CITR of old? Where have they gone on to aside yourself?
Well, I don't know. So I saw Vic Freeman the other day. He's a psychologist or something. He was at the homecoming 50th anniversary of our graduating class. Verna Baird, she was Dorwin Baird's wife. They were both in the society. Dorwin went on to CJOR. He's dead now. And I can't tell you what happened to the others. Now, what happened to some of the UBC people on the paper, but not in the Radio Society.
Is Canada falling apart?
No. Just doing what it's always been doing, talking about falling apart.
In the paper today, there was a saying that apathy is Canadians' biggest problem. Do you agree with that?
Apathy is everybody's biggest problem. I think at the moment, people aren't so apathetic as they're fed up. You know, they're fed up with the government, they're fed up with the Constitution argument, and they just want to go back to earning some money, and they're all broke, and then nobody has a job. Naturally, they're apathetic about other things. To most people, the most important thing isn't the Constitution, it's bread and butter.
Who is the American equivalent of Pierre Burton?
I don't think there is one.
Not one at all? Not even one close?
Well, I don't fashion myself against anybody, and I'm not particularly happy about comparing myself with any American.
Are you known in the United States of America, Pierre?
No, I'm known in small circles. I published quite a few books there, and some of them did well. But I'm not a household name or anything, no.
Are you allowed across the border freely?
Oh, sure. I go across all the time.
How about Farley Mowat? He's not allowed across the border, is he?
Well, he is now, but he won't go across the border. They apologized, and they tried to get him across the border. He said, hell with you.
What was the reason? Why did they ban him from the U.S.?
They thought he was a communist, and he's not. He never was. He's far from being a communist. But he'd visited Russia and written a book called Siberia, about Siberia. Maybe that's why. I don't really know why they ban anybody down there, but they do.
Is there a difference between a Canadian and Americans?
Oh, there's an enormous difference. We have a different geography. We have a different history. We have a different ethnic makeup. We have different attitudes, different kind of government. Everything's different. Just have the same language and the same suits.
How do you view Canadians such as Neil Young, who seem to have, like, given up on Canada? I went to his concert, I don't know why, a little while ago, and he seemed to be playing American anthems. People are waving American flags. How do you view Canadians such as that?
Well, people go, and on my business, go where the work is. And I used to dandle Neil on my knee when he was 2 years old.
Wow, that knee right there. Wow.
Well, his father's a good friend of mine. We worked together at McLean's. No, he went where the work was and where the recording contracts were. Things are a little bit different now. People like Gordy Lightfoot and Anne-Marie can stay here, but they don't. But Neil didn't feel he had to. I don't object to it.
Because somebody like Alex Trebek, he would go to the United States of America, or someone like Peter Mansbridge, he stayed here in Canada. How come that has occurred?
Well, it's a personal decision. I guess Alex Trebek got offered a pretty fancy job in the States and took it, and Peter Mansbridge got offered a pretty fancy job and didn't take it. He preferred to be in his own country. You know, I've stayed here myself. Authors really don't need to move around very much these days. Nobody does with television. Fax machines especially.
Does Brian Adams have any legitimacy in saying that this CanCon ruling is bogus?
No, he has none at all. He's quite wrong. It's fine for him, but then he doesn't need the CRTC because he's a big shot and he makes a lot of money. People who need the CRTC ruling are the people who are starting out. Brian Adams would not be where he is today were it not be for the pioneers who pioneered a system whereby a certain amount of Canadian music had to be played. That's why Anne Murray's big. That's why Gordon Lightfoot is big. And that's why a lot of younger groups are coming on and getting their stuff heard on Canadian radios, because Canadian radios would take normally take the easiest course and just run American records if they were allowed to, and they shouldn't be allowed to.
Do you think the CRTC is going to give in and have Bryan Adams away so they'll eliminate it so he can become Canadian content?
No, they're not going to change him for Bryan Adams. Keith Spicer's made that very clear.
On another controversy, are you aware of like that bare naked ladies controversy in Toronto at all?
Oh, I think you cannot be aware of it, seeing it's been on the front page of the papers all week. It's a silly, stupid, foolish controversy. Bare naked ladies is a childish remark. There's a little kids talk about bare naked ladies. So they took this name, which is a genius name, and old fogies in the city hall got all upset about it. Now they wish they hadn't because everybody's pointing the finger at them and laughing at them. These things have a way of working themselves out.
Is Leonard Cohen the coolest Canadian ever?
Well, I don't know if he's the coolest, but Leonard's pretty cool, yeah. He's pretty good. A good poet. Terrible singer.
Who are some of the other Canadians that have gone unheralded, that have not have got recognition, would you say? Like, I've mentioned Alex Trebek, Peter Mansbridge, Leonard Cohen. Who are some other ones that perhaps are not as recognized that you would feel are?
All those people have lots of recognition. I think most people get recognition unless they don't want it. Maybe Charles Saunders isn't heard of anymore now, but he was in his day. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Bliss Carman isn't known anymore, but he was in his day. You know, most celebrities last more than 5 minutes or 15 minutes, as Andy Warhol says. I just made a list of 125 significant Canadians over the last 125 years for a magazine, and it's I made a list of 250. I had to cut it down. There's so many of them, you know. But I think most people recognize the most. I used to tell Morley Callahan he was the most recognized, unrecognized Canadian who ever lived. Everybody was always saying nobody's ever heard of Morley Callahan, but in fact, everybody had. People rise up to the top like cream if they're any good.
Is Wayne Gretzky on that list?
No, he's not. No.
Are any Vancouver or any sports people on that list?
The only two sports people on the list are Conn Smythe and Foster Hewitt. I didn't put performers on the list in any field because I don't think performers, I think the people who start make the climate proper for performers are the significant ones. But if you put Wayne Gretzky on, you'd have to put 200 other hockey players on. You wouldn't have a list.
What about that lady that was in like the 1890s? She became a doctor. She disguised herself as a man. Is she on that list? What was her name?
Dr. Barry. That was before the 1890s. No, she's not on the list.
Well, what did she do exactly? I'm always interested by that story.
Well, she was in the army, the British army, and she managed to pass herself off as a man for most of her life. And in those days, I guess she didn't undress in front of anybody else, but it was only after she died, they found that she'd had a child somewhere. It's a fascinating story. I did it on television once.
And she was a doctor. She was certified as a doctor, too?
She was a military surgeon.
Continuing on, thanks for speaking to me, Pierre. Really appreciate this ex-CITR member that you are. Have you ever met any U.S. presidents that you've liked?
I haven't met any U.S. presidents, liked or not. But I probably would have liked Jimmy Carter. I certainly would have liked Franklin D. Roosevelt, and I think I'd have liked Harry Truman. Not so sure about the others. Probably like John F. Kennedy. He's a likable guy. But I haven't met them, so I don't know.
Did an American president once die in Vancouver? Did you ever hear a story about that? Harding or one of those guys?
He didn't die in Vancouver, but he was came to Vancouver shortly before he did die, yeah. This is 1922, 23, 24, around there, yeah.
So Vancouver may have poisoned him?
No, I don't think so. Vancouver can take credit for a lot of things, but poisoning Harding is not one of them.
Did President Kennedy really infiltrate the Canadian election of 1963 in helping to influence Canadians to not vote for Diefenbaker?
I haven't the slightest idea. I don't know.
Have you ever heard about that? Like, isn't there a book out? Doesn't Knowlton Nash have a book out, Kennedy and Diefenbaker, yeah, talking about that?
No, Knowlton has a book which I've read, and it's a good book, but there's no evidence there that Kennedy was stupid enough to try to influence the election in a foreign country like Canada.
Have you seen JFK?
Have I seen him?
No. Have you seen him, and have you seen the movie?
No, I haven't. I've seen JFK. I covered the convention which nominated him for leader of the party. No, I haven't seen the movie. I don't think I'll see it. They make a hero out of a sleazy man called Garrison, who hounded a poor wretch called Clay Shaw to his death. I met Clay Shaw, and there was no doubt that Garrison was, just for political reasons and making a political stance, drove this man really almost to his death. The guy was totally acquitted of everything, and now this guy Garrison has been made a hero. Well, he's not a hero, he's a rat.
Wasn't Clay Shaw, didn't they reveal in 1973 that he was indeed a member of the CIA, and the whole time he was denying it?
I don't know, but he certainly wasn't involved in any conspiracy against Kennedy. I can think these conspiracy stories are bunk. To believe in a conspiracy story, you have to believe that a huge number of people were involved. The CIA, the mafia, and all these other guys. Well, they're not. You can't keep a secret that way.
Could a governmental coup ever topple Canada? I mean, I've heard of people, environmentalists, they're having meetings at UBC, and one of the girls who was an environmentalist said that a member of CSIS, the Canadian Intelligence Agency, came to their meetings. What do you feel about that? Is CSIS that dangerous and scary?
No, it's rather incompetent, as a matter of fact, but you couldn't have a coup in this country. It's too big, it's too long, and there's too many mountain ranges in the way. How are you going to control the country? Impossible. I mean, you might take over Winnipeg or Saskatchewan or something, but you couldn't take over the country.
Was it a grave mistake for Canada to participate in the Gulf War, now looking back at it a year later?
Well, if we'd participated, it would have been, but we hardly participated, so I don't think it mattered either way. It was a token thing.
Wasn't there a chance for Canada to stand up and say, hey, we're not going to go to this, we're not going to stand for this killing? Could have been a big chance for international politics, but we didn't really take it, did we?
Well, you got to be realistic and realize that we're next door to the United States, and you just can't go off half-cocked and scream at the United States every single day but because you don't agree with what they're doing. You have to maintain friendly relations. Now, that involves sending a couple of obsolete warships to the Gulf. Well, you probably have to do it. And as a matter of fact, I don't think anybody was opposing it at the time except for a handful. Now, it looks different because we're learning a lot more about the Gulf War, but at that time I don't think it mattered.
Did you ever meet Gerald Bull?
No.
Did you ever have any association with him? Was he much in the news back then?
No, his family live in Brampton, and I remember a story about them, the Macleans, years ago. They were in the cattle business, I think, but we didn't know much about Bull until after he died.
What was Pierre Trudeau really like?
He pretty well got what you saw. He was an intensely private man. He had a very strong intellect. He had the Jesuit ability to argue right down to the ground. And if he didn't wrestle inflation to the ground, he certainly wrestled a lot of other people verbally. I knew him casually. I was on television with him on several occasions. Once, long, long before anybody thought he was going to be anything, when he was simply a dilettante, we had him on a program about separatism. I liked him. And in fact, I voted for him at one point.
Is he on your list of 125 Canadian important Canadians?
Significant Canadians, yes.
Significant.
There's four prime ministers who I think are great, and he's one of the four. The others being John A., Wilfrid Laurier, and Mackenzie King. I also put Mike Pierce on the list for a different reason, because he started the peacekeeping forces. And John Diefenbaker, because he represents a very bad prime minister, but he represents a form of prairie populism, which is significant.
Are any British Columbia members of parliament or premiers involved in the list?
No.
Any British Columbian people?
Oh, yeah, there's British Columbian people, but no premiers. Yeah. Emily Carr's on the list, for instance, I think.
I'm stumbling when I'm saying this name, Mulroney, but does the Mulroney really, really hate Trudeau?
Oh, I don't think, you know, John A. Macdonald said no politician can afford the luxury of hate or revenge. And I don't think politicians hate each other. I think they are opposed to each other. Sometimes they hate each other. I haven't the slightest idea what Mulroney's private feelings are. He doesn't indicate that he does or that he doesn't.
How long do you see him lasting?
Who, Mulroney?
Yeah.
Oh, I think he'll be out in the next election. Two more years.
You mentioned television earlier on TV with Pierre Elliott Trudeau. You've been on TV, as many people have seen you, on French Page Challenge. I was wondering, one of the panelists on there is Betty Kennedy. What's her background?
She's a journalist. She's a long-time journalist. She's been a journalist for 30, 40 years. Her last stint was, I think, for 15 or 20 years at CFRB. She ran a daily program, a radio journalistic radio program, which she interviewed people. She's a very good journalist.
She's still writing for newspapers?
No, she's pretty well. Betty, except for Front Page Challenge, isn't doing very much in that field.
And you're in your 30th year of Front Page Challenge?
35th
year. Is that's one of the longest-running television shows in history, is it?
Well, Meet the Press is in the States is longer. It's the only one.
Have any headlines on Front Page Challenge ever stumped you? Like really ones that you really kicked yourself that you haven't got?
Oh, about half of them stumped me. I think my batting average is about 50-50. Yeah, my mother was on Front Page Challenge. I didn't recognize her.
Really? How did they have a voice disguiser or something?
I guess they did. I can't. It was some time ago. I can't remember. The last one that was on was my daughter, Patsy. I didn't get her either. She was on because a book of mine called The Secret World of Og had reached its 30th anniversary, and she did a new cover for it, so he sneaked her in.
Well, next thing you know, I'll be on Front Page Challenge.
You never know.
And hopefully you'll get who I am. Nardwar from CITR Radio, FM102, Cable 102, Vancouver, Discovery Canada. And we're talking here to Pierre Burton. Thank you very much for speaking to us. We're just winding down here. And I was wondering, is Canada's national sport really lacrosse?
No, it's quite obviously hockey. It used to be lacrosse. And maybe it still should be lacrosse, which is an ingenious and wicked sport. But it's our national sport has been, and I think always will be, hockey.
Is it in the books? Because I heard, like, it was, because, you know, they always have trivia questions. What's Canada's national sport? People say lacrosse. Has it always been hockey?
Well, it was lacrosse for a while, and I suppose lacrosse was giving hockey a run for its money, but they don't play it anymore, except out here.
Finally, Pierre, thanks for speaking to me again. I'm saying thanks, because it's really an honor to speak to such a distinguished Canadian. Do you like to be known as a distinguished Canadian?
I hate it. It makes me feel like a has-been to be called distinguished. I'd rather be called a radical or a rebel or anything else than distinguished.
How about your political persuasion? Do you ever reveal that?
Oh, sure. I'm an independent voter. I voted for the Conservatives, I voted for the Liberals, but more than any, I voted for the NDP. I voted for the NDP most recently, yeah.
Finally, Pierre, in the 1960s, did you ever, like William S. Burroughs, use hallucinogenics to enhance any of your writing?
Not unless you count pot, grass, but not to enhance my writing. I would never write one word under the influence of either a drug or alcohol. It throws your timing right off. I know that I go on a television program or a radio program or a public speech. If with even one drink, I wouldn't take one drink. I wouldn't smoke one joint because that throws your timing off. It throws your thinking off. It throws everything off. If you want to be sharp, stay sober.
But you did experiment with marijuana then?
I didn't experiment with it. I just smoked it. It was an experiment. The kids had it and we were sitting around. We used to smoke joints. Still do. I smoke with my kids.
All right, and thanks so much, and keep on rocking in a free world.
Okay, thanks.